I told you how I felt about this owner and the idea that so many of you, I know certainly the Midday Show and Evan, were big on the idea of the stories coming out last year and this offseason about what a disaster it's being run, and the, you know, his sons are too heavily involved, and you know, nixing trades based on Madden rankings, and walking into the locker room and yelling that the team's quarterback sucks within earshot of him, and everything else, and how what a just an absolute crap show that this Jet franchise has been, and this owner has been. And there was some optimism about the story that, you know, I know the Jets publicly said, well, I got to do better. I'll learn and I'll do better. I had zero confidence, zero, that this owner would learn from anything. I don't believe it. And clearly, to me, what he said today or yesterday now speaks to that. When asked about being the only owner in the NFL, in the player rankings, where they get asked a myriad of questions about the organization that they work for, the only owner to receive an F in that player voting was Woody Johnson. He got an F. And a person who would learn from that, and a person who's determined to do better, would not answer that when asked about it yesterday by calling it total BS. Total BS. And I heard Evan talking about this, and he's 100% right. This is not a news story. This is not speculation of what happened behind the scenes. This is an honest-to-God vote. Oh, well, it's the way they go about it. It makes no sense. And blah. Your team voted you an F, bro. You are widely considered. Your team hasn't made the playoffs in however many years. It's the longest drought in professional sports. The stories were all over the place at the end of last year. And you are widely considered one of, if not the worst owner in professional sports. Whether that's fair or not, you are widely considered as such. And when your team votes you an F, to poo-poo it and say it's absolute crap is ridiculous. When everything else that's come out and all of the failures that this organization has had, to call it a BS tells me again, this guy believes he is the reason for any success in this organization. And believes everyone else is a failure. To the point now where, under the guise of changing the culture in the organization, 170 employees of the New York Jets have been offered a buyout. Because there's going to be widespread change inside the organization. Now, I don't know if that's warranted or not. 170 sounds like a lot. But under this culture change led by the hiring of Aaron Glenn, who's Mr. Culture Builder, they are offering buyout packages, which I guess is, you know, something. It's fair. It's better than just firing them. But I would think layoffs are coming. And he was asked whether or not layoffs would be coming if not enough of these employees take said package. And that's what's coming. They're firing a lot of people. He does not believe, and that's fine. That's what businesses do. And God knows the Jets haven't been successful enough to be outraged when people are let go. But, I mean, it sucks. 170 sounds like a lot. But this guy doesn't get it, man. I'm telling you, look at everything he does. Like, why was he so mad that he fired the head coach? I promise you, the reason he fired Robert Saleh last year is because he believed he built a winning team. That he built it. That he brought in Aaron Rodgers. He put this team together. He offered the money. He helped with this. He helped with that. And he, and I guess maybe a little bit of Joe Douglas, put together a world-class team that everybody, and remember the quotes at the end of the season? He sounded like Donald Trump. A lot of people were telling me that it's the greatest. You know, a lot of people telling me I should run for a third term. A lot of people were telling me that this team was good enough to make it to the Super Bowl. A lot of people. because he believes he put together a winning team, that he is the head of a winning franchise, and the coach was getting in the way, or Aaron Rodgers was getting in the way if he wanted him benched after the Denver game. Like, this is, he believes he is doing an amazing job, and he is a victim of circumstance and poor hires maybe and some other things, and that proof is right there when his players are telling him, we're not happy with your performance. It's BS. And I'm sorry, the New York Jets are going no. It's just hard to. And I know Fliegelman is on a. My guy Fliegelman, the usual producer here, obviously the producer of the show, who's on vacation in Miami. I know he claims he's never going to root for the Jets again until Woody Johnson leaves. That's a tough thing to promise. We'll see. I'm going to try and hold him. That's my promise to you. As host of this show, I'm going to hold my producer accountable to see if he is actually going to follow through with that statement. But it's hard to think this organization is going anywhere with this man at the owner. And now let's get to the coach, because that's obvious. I mean, that's just absolute garbage. And the idea that he, you know, is poo-pooing that or not having some real deep perspective and self-evaluation when he is the only owner. He could say it's BS all he wants. He could say the way they go about collecting the information is BS. Anything he wants. He's the one who got the F. And if that doesn't scream to him the same thing all the articles scream to him, apparently, about needing to change, then nothing will. And then let's get to the coach, because I want to play some audio. I have no doubt that Aaron Glenn can coach. I have no doubt. And I really have no doubt that Aaron Glenn can be a leader of men. I'm not saying it's a bad hire. I wouldn't have made the hire. I would have went elsewhere. I would have tried to bring in. Now look, Pete Carroll didn't want to come. Mike McCarthy might not have wanted. I don't know all the circumstances. But I would not have hired Aaron Glenn. I would have wanted someone with a little bit more history as a head coach, a little more experience. But having said that, I have full expectation of him being, first of all, absolutely worthy of the job. The resume is without question good enough to earn a head coaching opportunity. And I'm sure he's going to be a very good leader and a very good X's and O guy. But I have a real concern about how he talks to the media. Because he was brought in here not only because of his culture building ability and, you know, what he does on the field and the Lions defense last year and all that. He was brought here a lot because he knows the team. He knows the organization. He knows what it takes to lead this franchise. He was here when it was windy in the first half, the second half of the 1998 AFC Championship game against the Denver Broncos. He was there for it. He knows what it smelled like. He felt the wind. He remembers the missed kick, the kickoff. He remembers all this stuff. And he's supposed to know what's going on with this franchise and be perfectly designed for this job in particular. And I got to tell you, the opening press conference did a great job. But since then, whether it's at the combine or earlier yesterday at these meetings, he is so combative and sounding so angry. And I'm sorry, it's fine. I understand he wants to say what he wants to say, and we're seeing that in the reports, like of how it's being reported. I was reading the story in The Athletic that, hey, he knows what he wants to say. He doesn't want to, divert from that. He's, you know, if you ask a second question or someone sends a repeat question at him, he lets them know, hey, I've already been asked that. Like, he is, it just feels like, and as long as, and we've seen this before with coaches, and that's fine. As long as you win, who gives a damn? But before the season even starts, before his career as the Jets head coach really begins, before games are played, like, it just feels like he walks into these things adversarial to the media. And I'm not sure why. And so I'm going to play a couple cuts. I've seen one or two clips online. I know Marco was just going through it. And, like, I'm just curious, like, because we all know the Jets are the Jets right now, right? They're the longest playoff drought in professional sports. You know, he's going to be asked incessantly about the quarterback situation right now. And they're kind of going, at least right now, they're penciling in Fields as the starting quarterback, which I'm sure it's going to be ink really soon. But he's asked a handful of questions, and it just feels like, you know, he wants to have this, like, adversarial relationship with the media.
Getting him was critical for us to continue to build this defense.
How do you feel like he fits in with your defense?
We wouldn't have signed him if I didn't think he would fit in.
Oh, I said how? How do you think he fits in?
He fits in very well. We wouldn't have signed him if I didn't think he could fit in.
Do you think Jordan Travis will be ready to go for OTAs, and what are your plans for him?
Well, I'm not a doctor, so I can't tell you that.
What are your plans for him this year?
If he's ready to play, he's going to compete.
Yeah. I mean, we obviously haven't seen him because of his college injury. How much do you know about him through the scouting process, and what kind of quarterback is he?
Well, from his days in college, I think he was a pretty damn good player, you know, so once he gets a chance to be clear to go ready to get ready to compete, he'll compete. Well, I wasn't here last year, so I don't care. I know right now I mean to have a lot of good conversation. That's all I care about.
He seems like he's in a good place when you talk to him.
Yeah, he's in a good place. So, I mean, I don't care what happened last year.
All right, there's some laughing at the end of some of those clips. But, yeah, it just feels like, well, what about I wasn't here last year. Or I'm not a doctor. And, like, I get it. And, again, all that matters is what happens on the field. And I think you'd be a really good head coach. But, like, I just wish... Like, because it's one of those things that easily becomes a problem if they don't get off to a good start. And I don't know about this team just yet, right? And I don't know about Fields. And I don't know where they are. And this team, you know, I could just see it being a rough start. And he doesn't have to take this tact. Now, if it's who he is and it's authentic, then it's authentic. And all that will matter is he's having the team prepared to play, and I have no doubt that he will do that. And I'm looking forward, and I'm optimistic about this team, but I don't know why it feels that way. Maybe it's just me. It just feels like he sits down, and again, the opening press conference, great, was fine. But at the combine, and then now yesterday, it just feels like he's short with them. But again... I think he understands that he doesn't want to go down the road, say something that has to lead him to say something else. He wants to make sure he wants to say what he wants to say. And that's what Zach Rosenblatt of the Athletic was saying, that he knows what he wants to say and he doesn't divert from it. So we'll see. I could just see it being, you don't have to be Rex. You don't have to be so glib. You don't have to be, a barrel of laughs all the time. I get it. It's the NFL. And we've seen Bill Belichick. God knows Bill Belichick has been this way. Parcells was a little bit glib, but he was certainly not above being like this in any given press conference. Like, we've seen coaches be like this throughout the years. It doesn't mean he can't be successful here. I'm not saying that, but I don't know. You know, it just feels like, hey, just take a breath. They know you're not a doctor.
It feels so intentionally anti-Robert Saleh, like, oh, maybe, I'm different because he was buddy-buddy with you guys. And so now you know how that always happens. The pendulum swings to the opposite side. The next coach is always going to be the exact opposite. Now it feels like he's playing into it. Like, I have to be combative because I can't be that.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Maybe. But it just feels that way. It feels like he sits down and it's like, all right, well, we want to accomplish different things, you and I. So we're going to, like, I'm going to make sure I accomplish what I accomplish, and we'll see how it goes.